Well, hello everyone. Y'all come on in. Y'all come on in. Little windows set up over here as we do our medical weight loss, GLP-1, all those things call. Whew, coming in hot. I just got to be honest. I'm winded. I have been in meetings for the last 3 hours back to back. Just got off drinking my second dose of creatine for all who are following along. I am drinking one dose of creatine first thing in the morning that does the part where you get the muscular benefit, which means that, and this is important for all of you on the GLP-1, I think. If it was me, I would probably be making sure that you were at least taking creatine every day, along with I know how important protein is. And let me just say this, I don't know, in case anybody listens to this, and if you want coaching or you have questions, just go ahead and put your hand up. Or raise your hand or ask in the Q&A box. But I will start with this because as of right now, no one in this membership needs any help from Corinne. And I only will be on this call as long as people need help. Otherwise, we get some time back in our day. So when it comes to creatine or protein, it is not like it's not the GLP-1 that is actually doing it. It is when you are losing weight, it is really important that for any weight loss, whether you do no BS, you do Weight Watchers, you do some kind of a detox program, you do a GLP-1, you do weight loss surgery, whatever it is, that you don't starve your body. And so one of the problems that has been like historically an issue in weight loss is that we glorify being hungry. We think that the hungrier we are, the better. And there's like a shame around not being hungry or no, being overfull and stuff. Your body does not like that at all. Does not like that at all. And so the best way to lose weight is with like eating just below what your body needs, so that your body doesn't think that you're doing dangerous things to it. Now, there's this idea that the starvation effect is a myth or whatever. I don't think it's a myth. Here's what I think it really is, though. If you do like drop your calories real low, or you're going to be like on an island for, like you're on Survivor and you don't get to eat, like just think about if starvation effect was really real, if I'm on Survivor, I wouldn't lose weight. Right. But what does happen though is we get into this tricky area where we eat a lot less, but we're still kind of eating some, and our body is just doesn't respond well to that. And so the way that I teach weight loss is we're going to wait for hunger, but slight hunger, not extraordinary hunger. We are going to stop when we get to just before full, we're eating just a little bit less than we normally do. Until we kind of dial those two parameters in to where I'm waiting until I actually know I need some food and I'm eating enough, finding my enough spot that allows me to start losing weight. And when you live in kind of a sweet spot, your body, as long as you are lifting some weights, doing something that like tries to keep your muscle, and you are eating sufficient protein and stuff, you don't lose much muscle. But here's what has always happened in diets. This, and I know that this is true because back in the day when I did bodybuilding, they really talked to us about this a lot. We used to eat a lot of protein. We had to, because we were going to be on an aggressive calorie deficit. Like we were at what I would call, I mean, probably when I was doing bodybuilding, y'all, I was probably only eating 15 to 1600 calories a day, maybe 1800. And though I was doing an hour of cardio in the morning, I had to lift weights for 45 minutes to an hour at night. And then I had to finish that with about 30 more minutes of cardio. So the exercise expenditure was high and the calories were really low for that level. But you're also trying to get your body to go to an extraordinary low level of body fat. If you don't know what bodybuilding is, it's where you're just trying to get as lean as like lean as possible and into the almost unhealthy range so that you can stand on the stage and then they expect you to regain your weight, a significant portion of what you lose. So like when I competed the first time, I cut down like 128 pounds. I look like a fucking skeleton. I mean, I look back at some of the pictures, and back then I just thought like, oh my God, look at all my muscles. And I look back now, I'm like, oh my God, I had like no muscles. I was not as seasoned as I am now. And so, but they kept our protein high. We had to take creatine and we had to lift a lot of weights so that we were trying to prevent as much weight, muscle loss as possible. Because even then, no matter how much weight I lifted, and I was lifting probably heavier than I lift now, and I was lifting 5 days a week versus 3 days a week now, and I was taking creatine and I was pumping protein like you would not believe, we still lost, 20 to 30% was muscle and most of it was fat. So I tell you all of this, and this is a long way to get to this point, is that whatever you're doing, you're going to want to preserve as much muscle as you can. It's just healthy. The GLP-1 itself is not what's wasting the muscle. What happens is muscle gets wasted, one, when you don't have enough protein. So your body tends to like burn off the things that you wish it wouldn't. It likes to eat at bone. It likes to get rid of muscle. It just, your body thinks that fat is so fucking important. And so it disproportionately will skew to the stuff you want to keep and preserve fat, unless you're teaching it how to reverse it. So you want to make it to where you're only losing some muscle and you're losing mostly fat. Do not believe anybody out there that tells you that you can somehow only lose fat and lose no muscle. If you are losing weight, that is impossible in science terms. It cannot happen. Please don't believe people when they say that. But what you can do is you can affect how much muscle you're going to lose. So if you're on a shot in particular, I do think you need to be lifting weights. This is just from the doctors I've talked to who, they have podcasts on this. They are trusted resources of mine. They are people I know. You really should be strength training and not lifting like a fucking asshole. Okay. I would advise you if you do not know how to lift, go to a gym, spend the money on getting a trainer for just an amount of time to where your whole goal is, I want you to teach me how to do 2 to 3 strength workouts a week that I could probably do for the rest of my life. And I want to know how to do it with good form. And I want to know how to lift heavier. Because I watched a woman literally the other day in the gym. Her husband's over there lifting like a beast. She had 3 pound weights. And this woman, like, I could tell she could do better. She's just over there doing this. And then she was just like this. Now, this woman was like, I understand if you've not worked out in forever and maybe you're like older or you've got injuries and stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just a basic woman. If you can carry your groceries, you should be lifting heavier. I want you to think about this. Most women's purses are what they pick up off the ground to get out of a restaurant is heavier than what they think they can lift in a gym. Like whatever your purse currently weighs, that is the weight I would start with. If you can, like if you were like me, if I go to the grocery store, I am loath to carry or take 500 trips to the car and back. What do I do? I'm like walking like a farmer carrying bales of hay because I'm too fucking lazy to make a second trip to the car. If you can do that, you start with those types of weights or right below it. So just to give you some perspective, with the creatine, when you take one dose a day, what it says on the label, you are now giving your body what it needs for muscle preservation, to be able to lift better, to do those things. I'm taking a second dose for brain health, for clearer thinking. I am beyond worried these days about my brain. I was just telling Chris to go on. Oh, everybody's asking, what kind of creatine do I take? I take Thorne. It is on my faves page. I'm sure MJ will put it into the chat, but it's Thorne. And the reason why I take Thorne is because I know it's made in America and it does not have fillers and it is third-party lab tested. That is a very well done company. Chris, when he had cancer, he took all the Thorne vitamins and all the Thorne gut health. He still takes things that protects gut health specifically. And my husband is a deep researcher. And so, and Thorne vitamins, we actually started using them long ago. We used to give Logan a lot of different supplements for his autism, and we only trusted Thorne. So I only recommend Thorne. Now, I know some of the Nobius women do different things. I'm just going to tell you, if you want Corinne's trusted source, that is where I go. And then Chris is actually looking for some brain health supplements for me, because I'm just like, oh my God, we got to protect my brain. We got to protect my brain. So make sure you're strength training. And let me say this about creatine, because I mean, no, I'm not creatine. Let me say this about protein, because this is one of the things that blows my mind. When y'all tell me, I don't know how I'm ever going to be able to eat all that protein. The average woman, if I'm going to give you a rule of thumb, everybody just eat 100 grams a day. If you're eating 100 grams a day, you got all your bases covered. I eat 100 grams a day. When I bodybuild, I was eating 150 grams a day. 100 grams of protein a day is 400 fucking calories. Do not sit there and tell me, bitches, that 400 calories somehow is blowing your wad for the day. You all counted points and you all counted calories at some point. 400 calories is a drop in the bucket of your daily allotment. You got room to go for all your other foods that you want. You save 400 of them for protein a day. The way that I get it in is really simple. My breakfast is protein heavy. One egg with a half a cup of egg whites. I make it in 3 minutes on the stove. That right there is like, I think it's around 20-ish. I didn't like do the exact math, but I can get y'all the math if need be. That's like 20. And then I eat either a Kodiak muffin cup, which has 10 more, which is just like having a fucking blueberry muffin every day. Or I'll do like, I do a, technically it's a keto bread, but it's not because I'm keto. It's the avocado seed one. It tastes really good, but it has like, I think 6 or 7 grams of protein per slice. I forget who makes it. I'd have to look at it. It's some keto brand that Chris, my husband, eats keto everything. And the son of a bitch last night had pretzel bites for dinner. That was his whole dinner, pretzel bites and a quesadilla. I'm like, Chris, why do you buy so much keto stuff? He's like, I like it. I'm like, ugh. The keto chips he eats taste like fucking shit. I'm like, whatever. So I do that for breakfast. I knock out 30 or 40 of my grams of protein first thing in the morning. If you buy the Oikos Greek yogurt, the one that has the extra protein, it's 20 grams per container. When I make a smoothie, I use two of those. Plus, I put my strawberries and shit in there. And then I usually eat eggs with that. So sometimes I'm getting 60 of my grams of protein first thing in the morning. And it's not hard. And it doesn't make you feel overly full. I feel like it's a great start to my day. And then at lunch, I just do like literally a fistful of protein. With anything else you want. So, like your salad, if you want to do a sandwich or whatever, you just want to get to about 20 grams. And 20 grams of protein is not much chicken on a salad. It's like 3 fucking ounces. It's not a lot. So, we're not even talking huge volumes. And then you do the same thing at dinner. A 3 or 4 ounce filet has got your protein. Like, it's not as deep as we make it. If you want to toss an extra shake in each day, do the Fairlife shakes. They've got 26 grams in, and they're delicious, and you can get them anywhere. Tank one of those down with a piece of fruit or a little bit of nuts if you want a snack. That is the easiest way to get in your protein. I've been doing it for years, and I've had no problems. Now, if you're vegan or vegetarian, I can't help you. I've not been a vegan. I've not been a vegetarian. But I guarantee you, if you went out on the Googles or you went to AI ChatGPT and you asked it to give you an idea for, like, I'm going to eat 3 times a day or I'm going to eat 4 times a day, what should I include to get to 400 100 calories of protein. I want 100 grams. Then you build out everything else. One of the things that we're going to start doing for everybody, and this is going to happen in what month are we in? September? This starts in October. So this month we've been sharing our meal plans all in Facebook as like every day, me and the coaches, we go in there and y'all go in there. We're all just like, I wanted y'all to have a place where you could share meal plans and get ideas and just see all the different ways. People have all kinds of different 24-hour plans. Some people just type it. I screenshot mine from a notes app. Like there's a million different ways to do it. Literally, my meal plan takes, it takes me 1 minute now because I have to go find the thread and paste my picture in there. But actually making it takes me about 30 seconds. And then I got to spend 30 seconds getting into Facebook and figuring out where the hell to put it. So it ain't got to be that deep. But to get your protein in, just plan your protein at each meal and then everything else you want around it. Because none of you should be only eating 400 calories a day. And there's nobody in No BS that's here because they eat so little. Y'all didn't join me for that reason. So that is my big ass speech. If you want to like do what you can to preserve your muscle, that is the most important things you can do. In October, though, what's coming out is new weekly meal plans from No BS. So we're going to give every week, there's going to be a different theme. Like some weeks it's going to be busy, busy week, easy button meal plan. One week might be, I'm cooking galore. We're going to have all kinds of different things. We will have a vegetarian week, but we're going to build it out 1 week at a time. So in your Sunday newsletter, you'll get the meal plan of the week with the grocery list, with some of our favorite recipes. So not everything will always have a recipe, but if we're going to pick a few highlights and we're going to put them in there and we're going to start storing it on the site. So we're going to start building out where you'll have like all kinds of meal plans to choose from. You can mix and match. You can do all this stuff. But the thing that I told Yasmin to include as we build this out is put the protein grams on there. So if you follow that, you will know that every week we are building it around 100 grams. Because I'm tired of women telling me that for some reason, 400 fucking calories is the hardest lift ever for them to eat. I'm like, really? Y'all ain't gonna fool mama. All right, Christy, you're up first. Yasmin was a vegan, but because she's a triathlete and she does a lot of things now, Yasmin's lost over 100 pounds, y'all, and been an obese woman forever. Now she works for me. She was a vegan for a long time, but she decided to add dairy back in because it was really hard for her to get her protein. So, Christy, if you will turn on your camera.
Okay, I'm trying. There we go.
You're good. Because then I'll be able to see you.
There we go.
All right.
Perfect.
What would you like help with today?
Well, I have been an OBS woman since 2019, so I've been around a long time, and I started taking Mounjaro in February, and I love it. I'm feeling great. I'm really enjoying it, and I think it's a good thing for me. But I kind of quit planning and I'm having a hard time combining the no BS principles and the way I want to live my life with planning and stopping it full with the GLP-1. I feel like when I'm eating, I just can't eat all that much at a time. And so I feel like I'm getting further away from my hunger signals. And I just wanted
No,
some
I
advice on
think
that.
what, let me tell you what I find is that a lot of you limit hunger signals so little that you're not expanding your horizon. So, other day I was coaching someone in your group who was losing her hair. She's like,
Okay.
I just, like, I don't have the signals, Corinne. I said, yeah, you do. You're losing your hair. That's called a hunger signal. So, like, with a, like, you got to expand your horizon. Your hunger signals aren't always just limited to what it was before. Now we got to find what are your enough signals on here. It may be your enough signal. It's just I'm paying attention. I now know about the quantity I can eat, and that is now my enough. So now my enough signal is what my eyes tell me. Because the last time I checked, eyeballs are still part of our body. And our eyeballs can help us out. It doesn't always have to be like, I think a lot of us think it has to be like, well, it's all got to be right here in my belly. You know, my belly's got to be telling me the whole story. And I'm like, no, like your mouth tells a story, your brain tells a story, your eyes tell a story. Every part of your body tells a story. Like if you're not eating enough, like let's say you're stopping at enough, but you're getting hungry too soon, you know you need to eat a little bit more and you need to pay attention to what happens. Like, what is the amount of expansion in my belly? Like, I might not think in my mind that, like in my past, I thought that was too much. Maybe it's not. So think about, let's think about this. With your body, what parts of your body can you now use on Mangiorno so that when are you ever going to go off of it, or is this a lifelong thing for you?
Well, I would like to go off of it someday. I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of just taking it. I want to get to my weight loss goal and then talk about it from there. So I'm not 100% sure.
Well, most people who are going to have to take it for a lifetime, they're not taking it for weight loss. They're actually taking it more for health and weight loss. So do you have a health reason why you have to be on it too?
No, my blood sugar was a little high, and so it wasn't pre-diabetic, but it was getting close. So I'm wearing a continuous glucose monitor now, and I'm like really trying to tune into my body, and I'm just trying to learn as much health. Like you were talking about the brain health, and so my blood sugar, I'm trying so hard to really get a good grip on that, and it's been
So you, as
hugely
long
eye-opening.
as you, yeah, I was going to say, as long as you are, you're doing the right things. I mean, that's what I'm going to tell you right now. You're probably going to be someone that's going to want to exit off of it then one day. Because if all of your health is in line, you may not want to be taking it for the rest of your life, mainly just for the expense, if nothing else. You
Right.
know, I'm going to give y'all my personal opinion on these things. Y'all give it 10 years. Every menopausal woman, once we start getting into perimenopause, I bet you GLP-1s will be the drug of choice to help us mitigate symptoms, to help our brain health. They're finding, like, these things have been around for a long time. They are finding way more benefits, like cognitively. Like, there's a lot of, like, what I would call, like, they're just now starting to see the long tail effect of a lot of these things. So, we may or may not be coming off of it. It's just like estrogen. They used to, I just recently went to a conference. They talked a lot about GLP-1s, but they were talking about estrogen too. And this doctor said, if you are over the age of 40, you should be on estrogen cream until you draw your last breath. That's how important it is because it protects, as we get older, our vajayjay gets real dry and it keeps it moist. And my mother's going through this right now. She has had two, not kidney, what's the other? Bladder infections that have been had E. coli due to dry vagina. Because when your vagina's dry, the you're losing your protective barrier for bacteria and things like that. And I was like, please, mama, get to the doctor. Get on this shit. So the reason why I say that is if you're going to be coming off of it, you're going to want to have the habits in place to be able to keep the weight off. Because once you remove the Mangiorno, the people who regain weight, they don't regain weight because they stopped the shot. They regain weight because while they were on the shot, they didn't do what you're doing, which is putting in the habits you're going to need to now live like someone who has, like, you want to end up at the end to be living like someone as if you'd never had a weight problem ever. If all you do is just say, like, all right, well, now that I'm on a shot, I'm just going to eat during the day all the things I love, but because I have the shot, I can't eat as much. Well, when the shot goes away, now you just have to scale up, you know, ding dongs, Cheetos, and pizza. If you're only eating a little bit of ding dongs, Cheetos, and pizza, as long as you're on the shot, you probably can get away with weight loss, but your body's going to be in shit condition. Like, you know, you're just not doing yourself a big favor other than losing weight. And then when the shot is gone, your appetite's going to kind of go back. But if your appetite goes back to normal and you've really worked on your emotions, so like when you come off, You're not having triggered emotions anymore. You're still doing all of that work. So your appetite might go up, but your urges don't go up. You
That makes
have
sense.
like the if you clean up the types of food you're eating to where you eat a little bit healthier and stuff because you're watching your blood sugar and whatnot, then when your appetite goes up, because it should, like just like if you lost weight like I did, when I got to maintenance, I went to a maintenance level of eating. I didn't eat like I was losing weight anymore. I ate more like I'm going to maintain this weight. So it's more about all those habits you're going to put into place. So let's think about for you, what body signals that, like, I want you to be thinking about, what are going to be the actual new body signals I'm going to listen to when it comes to enough? I'm going to really pay attention because the real key that I want you to get used to is whether you're on a shot or not, you're just really good at paying attention to what your body says it needs. So that when you come off the shot, you're in the habit of always just paying attention to what your body says it needs. We want to lay that foundational habit down. So you might have to look at it a little differently. So, like, you're just building the habit. Like, if I had to give you the root habit, it's paying attention, not just kind of willy-nilly letting it do its thing. The other thing is, I would still plan, especially if I was on one of these things, because I think you've got it, you need to plan to make sure you're getting your nutritional basis covered because it's
Enough,
easy
and
to let
I
that slide.
changed it a little. Like my plan, here's my yesterday's plan. I still have one of these old school books. I
That's
have,
fine. I'm
you
looking
guys
at
gave them away. I got a bunch and I love them. But I have
it.
like all my protein listed and circled so that
That's
that's going to
planning to
be.
me. Why did you tell me you've gotten away from planning?
Well, I have in the last week or so really been focused back on it because you're resonating so much with me because what I don't want to do is I don't just want to like quick lose the weight on a GLP. Want to be like, sweet, now I'm thin. Because I'm doing this for the long haul. Like, I want to be, and I got on estrogen and progesterone. I mean, I'm trying really hard to do all the things that will make me extremely healthy when I'm 70. And so I just saw your call pop up today, and I'm like, this is the perfect timing because I want to just make sure I'm building all the foundations and building the habits, like you're mentioning, and not just taking the weight loss without gaining the process, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think you're actually doing better than I think maybe your doubting brain thinks it's doing. Like, I think your brain is uncertain. What you've told me sounds really on par. You're asking questions, coming to a call and asking questions. You're a little confused. Like, we had to expand the definition of paying attention to your body, but you're also using your CGM, and that's helpful. It's another way to, like, it's just like, well, I don't have my Oura Ring right now because I don't know what's wrong with the Oura Ring, but all of a sudden it won't hold a charge. And I got the new one, and I am pissed. About to call the help desk. I'm like, I'm one of your best customers. I've had every generation of this Oura Ring, and this one is too new to be losing a charge every 24 hours. But I pay attention a lot to that. I use like sometimes, like when we're listening, like there's certain parts we can listen to just like kind of internally, but there's like what I call supplements to listening to our body. For me, the Oura Ring is a supplement to listening to my body. I like this morning, it was. I don't know why I felt like I slept good last night, but my readiness score was like at a 65. And it lowered my activity for the day and said, if you can take a break, do it today, like whatever. So I just like, I did a like an easy walk. I added a few jog intervals in. It was nothing just to stay on my routine. But today was supposed to be like a big ass thing. And I was like, well, we're taking it down a notch. That to me is also listening to my body because I think what we also have to do is appreciate that we might not always be able to hear everything it's telling us. So if you have supplemental things that you can listen to help guide you, I think that's wonderful. And your CGM is one of them. To me, that is a supplemental device that is helping you, like, I'm going to pay attention to it. It's reflecting to my brain what is actually happening in my body. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and yeah, absolutely. And it has, I have been able to finally figure out, I would just get really bitchy and unhappy and kind of low energy. And then I'm like, oh, that is blood sugar 100%. So when I start to feel that way, even though I don't feel hungry at all, that is one way I'm paying attention. Like I go, oh, perfect. I can look at my blood sugar and know that it took a big dip and it just backs up my feeling, I guess.
Well, and
So that's
also
really
that is
cool.
another hunger signal for a lot of people. A lot of people, like me, if I'm tired, I always like I have to check in. I have to pay it. Like, for example, I ate breakfast this morning, and my meetings ran long, and I won't get a chance to eat until probably 3 o'clock now. I've got y'all, and then I've got another meeting after that. And when that wraps, I will be able to eat. But my meetings just went back to back today. We got talking. I was supposed to have a break, and it didn't happen. But I know me. When I get off my last call, my first hunger signal will be I will go from adrenaline to nothing. It takes usually about less than 10 minutes, and I'm yawning and I'm tired, but my hunger signals don't kick in. But I know if I wait like 30 more minutes, I go to hangry, like I'm irritated, and I'm thinking, like my body is saying, you really need to eat right now. You just like, I know that for me, that's like a high level. So I don't like to get to the point to where my stomach's growling and I'm ready to, slap someone in the face if they get between me and my meal. So I'm like, for me, it's like, I know if I start getting really tired after a day of meetings and I didn't eat breakfast since noon, I should eat when I'm not hungry because that is actually my hunger signal. So for you, I think it's also like paying attention to like, what are the signs before bitchiness that I might be getting? Could you notice like a just the dip in energy first, and then you just kind of think through. Does it sometimes I'm tired and wanting to eat, and I'm just wanting to eat to push through, or I'm eating because I dread a task. And I know that because I'm like, girl, you ate 2 hours ago. Like, and you're dreading the next thing, and you're tired because you're like, you worked hard today. You're not really hungry. You got to decide, are we going to push through without food, or are we going to take a break and give ourselves what we really need? A mental break before we push through. So there's always that, like what I was telling y'all on Sunday's call, if I ever had to boil no BS down to one theme, like if I could only teach you one thing to lose weight, it would be called think before you eat. If we just did more thinking about our food, and we did more thinking about our hunger, we did more thinking about our enough, if we did more thinking about our emotions that drive us to eat, if we did more thinking about the environmental triggers that cause us to eat, if you were thinking, you would be losing weight. But most of us aren't thinking, we're reacting all the time. And we're just letting what we always do run the show, not our thoughtfulness run our show. So I just think you're doing, like, do you have any other questions? Because I think you're doing great. And I think you
Well,
are
thank
setting
you.
yourself up for success at the end.
Good. Thank you. Yeah, no, I just I've journaled a lot about I have never wanted to be someone who just took the quote unquote easy way out. And so I have like had some old shitties about that particular thing. And so I'm really trying to just work through that. And it isn't an
Well, why
easy
don't we coach
way
on that? That is probably the most important thing for you to coach on.
out.
Why would you, why, like, tell me why in your brain that being on Mongiorno is the easy way out?
Well, because it does shut off food noise for me. It makes it a lot easier to choose, a chicken salad versus McDonald's for me.
Okay. Why is then doing something like that and it making things easier on you? Well, let me ask you this question first.
Okay.
When you think maybe I'm taking the easy way out, or I'm taking the easy way out, or I don't ever want to be seen as taking the easy way out, what do you equate that to? Let's just say you were taking the easy way out. You would feel what?
I would feel lazy.
Lazy. Okay. So that's interesting. Have you ever hired anybody to clean your house?
Yes.
Did you think that was smart or lazy on your part?
Smart.
Okay. Have you ever taken your car to get the oil changed? Did you think that was taking the easy way out, or did you think that was smart?
Smart.
Okay. Do you ever use your GPS?
All the time.
Yeah, well, lazy bitch.
Yeah, I
Why'd
really
you
am.
get your MapQuest out? Like, let's get the papers out again.
Yes,
Okay.
5 pages printed.
All right. So you know you have food noise and things that have prevented you from losing weight. And now you've gone out and figured out something that would help you. Why is that lazy in this context when you spend your entire life figuring out ways to do things in the most optimized way?
I think that I have told myself a story that I have to figure my issues out, or they'll just keep coming back. So if I take the easy way out, I guess, in this situation and take some medicine, which makes it easier for me to lose weight, then I'm not really getting to the root cause issues, and I'm just taking a shortcut.
Think that's what happens. So what do you think, what were you eating about when you said I had food noise? What triggered your food noise?
Procrastination.
Okay, Mangiorno doesn't help with procrastination.
No, it doesn't. It
You
doesn't.
have to work on procrastination. Are you still procrastinating? So now you know what you need to work on. What are you like? Because this is what's interesting that I think with these GLP-1s is it does turn down the food noise, but you know what it's probably not doing? Let me ask you this. When you say I procrastinate, tell me your thoughts about you as a procrastinator. Do you think like, I love it? I mean, I'm real good at it. I mean, who shouldn't do it?
No, I
In fact,
don't. I
if I could
like,
just brand it on my head, world's best procrastinator, I would. What are
yeah,
your
and
thoughts about procrastination?
I do not like it at all, and I feel like I really try to be someone who's effective and motivated and organized, and when I procrastinate, I feel like I'm just a complete imposter on all of those things.
Okay. That is what Mongiorno is not fixing. Only thing Mongiorno did was not trigger you to eat because you're a procrastinator. Now it's letting you see all the bullshit you think about yourself. It's letting you see how the shame you feel about being a procrastinator, the like, I don't want to be this kind of person. I don't want to be seen as imposter. So that I think is like the thing that I would really advise all of you to do is when the food noise turns down, notice where in your life you don't like things and you used to eat over it. Because procrastination is a great example because most people who procrastinate, they procrastinate the snack right along with it. How many times in the past before Mangiorno did you want to kick the can down the road on something and you ate because you did it, or you ate to justify not doing that?
Yeah, a ton, almost daily, I would say.
Yeah. So the only thing Mongiorno done it has done is turn down food noise so that you don't have a distraction from your procrastination. Now you get to hear probably your self-loathing thoughts. Like, what do you do now when you want to kick this shit down the road?
I usually find something else, like I doodle or I just find some other kind of, I can't even think of anything, read a book, play on my phone. Play on my phone's a big one.
Yeah,
That's
you've
probably what it
replaced,
is.
so
Play on my
it's
phone.
turned down the food noise, and your brain was like, all right, find something equally as ineffective to do because I don't want to feel bad about not doing what I'm doing. and she took
Yep.
away the food. So now I got to find some other nonsense behavior to fill the gap. That's
Yeah.
what you're supposed to be doing when you're on the Mongiorno.
Yeah.
Is start
Yeah.
looking for, like, if you want to, this would, we are going to work on some lessons for y'all. For now, the lessons are going to come in the calls. But we were actually discussing this morning some GLP-1 type stuff for y'all for 2026. I would do this. And MJ, mark this call as one for us to transcribe because this is going to be a good idea.
Yay.
Yeah, I know. I always love me because I'm just so proud of every idea I have. I'm just like, this is why I think my reward eating has gone down significantly because now I'm just amazed at everything that comes out of my own damn mouth. I would think about, and you could spend like a few journaling sessions on this. Don't rush through it. And think about, before Mongiorno, here were all the things I used to like that triggered me to eat. And like get like really good at like figuring out what those things were. And then
Okay.
spend another week not changing anything, but just noticing when I feel this way or when I procrastinate, when I have this or that, what am I doing about it now? Because if I don't fix the relation, like if I don't learn how to not be a procrastinator, or if I don't learn how to be a good rester or whatever, when I come off of Mongiorno, I'm now not going to have something suppressing my appetite. And my brain is going to still have the problems it had before I went on the GLP-1. And so it's just going to light up the neural pathways because you haven't solved the real problems. So it won't be that you'll regain weight because you came off the shot. It'll be I regained weight because while I was on it, I did not take advantage of really working on the things that I ate over to begin with. And so do that audit. Like this is probably I'm gonna try to remember as many things. And it might not be like 30 or 40. It may be like three. Like a lot of us don't have a ton of reasons why we eat. We usually have a few real humdingers that get us.
Okay.
Then you just watch yourself for a week or two. And it's like, all I want to do is notice when I feel this way or I'm doing these things, how am I handling it now? Am I handling it in a way that if I was off of Mongiorno, that is helpful? Or am I handling it in a way that I'm like, I'm actually just letting that still be a problem? And when I come off Mongiorno, my brain is likely to just start eating over it again. And then after you do that, when you start noticing all of it, then you can start saying like, okay, now I want to work through it in my and ask coaches. This is where you want to get coached on those things. You're going to want to, if you journal and you can work on it on your own, you do it on your own. But that will help you so much, and it will give you the confidence so that when you're ready to exit the shot, you will have leveled up confidence that like I really like you'll never have to say you took the easy way out ever again.
Yeah, that's good
Because
because the thought of going off of it like makes me want to shit my pants right now. You know, I mean, I just think, oh God, that I'm not ready at all. And that's exactly what I didn't know how to ask for that, but that's what I'm asking for is I want to build the strongest foundation possible so that when someday either I quit it or, you know, I had surgery this summer and I had to quit it for a little bit and it wasn't very long, but I was like, oh crap. You know, and it went okay, but I just, you know, what if they quit making it? Or, you know, I don't want to be like addicted to some substance. I don't want to be able to give full credit to my weight loss to a medicine, I guess, if that sounds
well,
not
first of
crazy.
all, let me tell you two things. Why? What is the worst? I just want to tell all of you, that'd be like somebody who's on blood pressure medicine saying, I don't want to give full credit to blood pressure medicine for the reason why I live to be 90. Like, no
Yeah.
one says that. But, like, I just want y'all all to see when it comes to weight loss, stigma. We have stigma, and that's just from the diet industry. You get to decide. Number one, who gets the credit and if it's good or bad or not. So that's the first thing. I will tell all of you, this is someone who sells a weight loss program that does not like it's, I don't have anything against them, but I don't promote it. It's not like, I'm out there, whatever. I mean, technically, shots are like competition for me. And but to me, I'm like, I don't know why y'all feel like this is a bad thing. It's to me, if you're doing the shots, it's no different than you hiring me to help you.
Yeah,
I don't
that is
think
a
there's
very good.
any difference.
Well,
You're
I guess
just looking for help.
it's like a fear-based thing. Like if suddenly, what if I become allergic to it or some bizarre thing? And like, I want to still be able to lose weight without it and not be completely dependent upon it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think that's fine. So I have a good, great question for you that's going to help
Okay.
you settle your nerves about all this. And I want you to write about this once a week.
Okay.
All right, ready to write your question down.
Let me, yeah, I guess that wasn't good. Okay,
MJ,
ready.
be prepared to type it. What did I work on this week that will make coming off my shots like easy? Like something like a question like that. Like, what did I work on this week that's going to make maintaining this weight loss without the shot my new lifestyle? Because
Okay,
what you're going
so
to want
what
to
did I
do,
work on?
yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, I just want to make sure I got that right. What did I work on this week that will make coming off tirzepatide easy?
Yes.
Or Mounjaro, yeah.
Or to maintain, like
Okay.
to come off and maintain. How about just add that?
Okay.
Okay. The reason why we do this is because we already like your thoughts are no different than somebody who just loses weight with no BS. You know what? Everybody in the maintenance program, like when they first get into maintenance, scared to death they're going to regain it. I think we just have this innate fear that we're somehow going to, regain our weight. I would do this now because your brain is saying, I'm scared about something. So we want to just start as early as possible, showing our brain it has nothing to worry about. Because it's not looking for, when our brain is afraid, it will never look for what you're doing right, what you're doing to set yourself up. It's going to skip all that shit because its job is to point out to you all the ways shit can go wrong. And so the only way that we do that is we have to counterbalance. And it's like, I know you're worried about these things, but this is what I worked on this week. This is why this isn't a worry. So we have to kind of prove it. It's no different than if you have a kid who's in their bed and they're terrified that the boogeyman is like hanging out in the closet. You can tell them all day long, there's nothing to be afraid of. But unless you walk them over to the closet for about 3 weeks every single night to show them nothing's in there, and every morning you say, like, look, nothing happened to you last night, blah, blah, blah. Eventually, they believe it. But
Yeah.
they really believe in something that's not even true. And that is what we do in weight loss. We really will believe we're going to regain our weight, and it's not even true. We don't predict the future at
Yeah.
all. And so like you prove it in live time. So I think you doing a couple things like working on the things you were eating over to begin with.
Okay.
And then at the end of the week, you recap with this question. I would bet you in 3 months, you're going to feel a fuck ton better.
Good.
You
Yeah, that's
can come
really
back to this
good.
call and you can be like, Corinne, I am your success story. I feel a fuck ton better.
Good. I love it. That's awesome. And it's funny because you've coached me several times, and it seems like it's the time when things are going pretty well, because things are going well now. And I'm like, I don't even know what to ask. And then you pull out all these brilliant things. So thank you. I think this was like
You're welcome.
incredibly helpful to me, and I hope it helps other people too.
I think it will. If nothing else, it's going to help me when we start writing your material for this next stuff that we want to give y'all. So,
Cool.
all right.
Good. Well, I
Thank you,
sure
ma'am.
appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Have a good day.
I got to tell y'all, her hair was cute as could be up on that little bun. Mimi? I need like some chapstick today. I don't know. I must have had my mouth open while I was sleeping last night because my lips are dry. Well, I wore matte lipstick a couple of days this week, so that probably has more to do with it. Mimi, if you can turn your camera on when you come on, that will help. There we go. Hey. Wait, we gotta get you unmuted. Hang on, I'm gonna move my window. There you go. Hey, what can I coach you on today?
Okay. I have been on Manjaro for about a year and a half, and for the last, I don't know, 6 months or more, I've noticed that food just tastes so different to me that a lot of it just doesn't taste good like it used to. And so I'm finding it hard to find food that satisfies me because, so long eating for pleasure. And so I'll eat my meal and then not be satisfied and find myself wanting something else because the only thing that still tastes good the way I expect it to taste is sweets. So I'm finding that I'm eating to maintenance now. And so I don't know what to do to get to where I can just be satisfied with not liking the food like I used to.
That is what we're going to have to do. Because if the taste buds are going to be altered, it reminds me of my grandfather. He was in a tragic car accident back in the 70s where he was thrown, I think, 30 feet out of a truck window, landed on the side of his head
Wow.
in a coma for 9 days, all the things, had to relearn how to talk. It also, like, say your taste buds are at 100% for the rest of his life, he could taste things at about a 10% level. So when he, like, if he ate sweet tea, it was a sandstorm in the tea. I mean, it literally looked like a sandstorm because he had to use so much sugar to
Right.
even be able to get the hint of the taste of it. Same thing with salt. You'd watch him, he'd just salt him like this. And I don't know how that man never had diabetes and he never had high blood pressure. He had everything. He had a lot of like colon cancer, stomach cancer, but those two, his heart and his lung, and he was a smoker. All of that stuff stayed just fine. Pancreas was healthy as a hog. So we got to figure out a way for you to make peace with food's just not going to be as satisfying for me. And so I'm going to really need to find satisfaction in other ways because right now tell me this. Let me ask you this question. Why is it a problem that your food isn't satisfying your pleasure taste buds?
I think it's just because I've always eaten for pleasure. That's been my number one pleasure, probably most of my life. And so
Oh.
I'm trying to find other ways to have pleasure. I've been working on that a lot.
Okay.
But now that it's not there, I'm noticing in a big way that it's gone. Whereas before, it was okay to give it up and find pleasure somewhere else. Now I'm getting almost none from food unless I eat the sweet stuff, which stops me from losing weight.
Are you eating it every day? Like,
No.
why? How is it stopping you from losing weight?
Well, for the last 4 months, I've been maintaining. And
How
before
much more
that,
weight? How much more weight do you have to lose?
well, that's my other question that I considered asking. I can't pick a goal. I don't know. I've lost
How much?
145 pounds.
Okay. And how tall are you?
I'm 5'6", and right now I weigh about 230.
Okay, so you still have more weight to lose.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is just where sometimes there's like two things we've got to do. One side of it is making your goal to keep losing weight more important to you than your goal of enjoying what you're eating. And right now, your goal of losing weight pales in comparison to your desire and your goal to enjoy what you're eating.
Yeah, you're right.
And that is by choice. And this is what I always like to tell people is, like this isn't something bad that's happened to you. This isn't unfair. This isn't like a problem. this is a choice you're making. Like, I've decided I want to lose weight this way, which means if I've decided that, I've also decided that I will not like food the way I used to. I now have to have, it's got to have a different purpose for me now. It can't be pleasure anymore. Because that's like an impossible, that's, you will feel frustrated, you will feel upset, you will feel angry. And you will be feeling frustrated, upset, and angry about something that can't happen.
Right.
So you are like, because I think this is interesting and kind of dovetail what we just talked about in the other call. Why do you need so much pleasure from your food?
Maybe I'm not getting it anywhere else. I don't know. I try to get it in other ways. It's just been my thing for my whole life. It's hard to give up something that you've had forever. I'm 64. It's a long time. And I've been working on all my emotional stuff with you for 2.5 years, I'd say. And I've seen a lot of progress, but I don't know. I guess maybe I'm not doing a good job finding pleasure in other places.
No, it's not that. I just like wait, it's I don't want you to assume you're not doing a good job. I want you to like really think about why do I like this is the question we have to answer. Why is it so important to me that knowing that I'm on a drug that's going to take away the pleasure I feel with food, why is it so important for me to get it in such a way that it stops me from getting what I really want? Because there's something in the middle that's more powerful than what you want at this moment. Otherwise, you would have no problems with just like, well, this is the way it is. It's not, I wish that I enjoyed my food more, but I don't. But I'm so determined to lose my weight that, I'm going to find other ways to cope or to
Right.
do, or I'm just not going to think about it as much. We got to figure out what that missing piece for you is. Let's say this, go ahead.
I don't know. But I know, like, I used to eat salads all the time. Sometimes it even come for breakfast. I cannot eat a salad now. It doesn't taste good. And not only does it not taste good, but I just can't even get myself to chew it and swallow it. So if I don't like the food, I just can't eat it. I mean, physically can't make myself do it.
What do you like? Like, let's say for breakfast, what do you like right now?
I'm having a lot of protein shakes or smoothies. I add yogurt and frozen fruit to them to make it more than just, one of the bottled shakes. I'm
I think
eating,
that's great.
well, it is, what I'm eating is okay. That's one of the things I like because it tastes sweet.
Okay. That's not a problem. We're not going to make something that's healthy a problem.
Okay.
Just because it tastes sweet doesn't make it a problem.
No, but I can't have that 3 meals a day.
No, but like now, what do you do for lunches right now that you can eat?
Okay, today my lunch is hummus with some, stuff mixed in with it, salmon, boiled egg, tomatoes. Yes, it's very healthy. Doesn't
Yeah.
taste as good as it used to, but I can still eat it.
Okay, so that's not a problem either.
No,
Because you
but
just said, but I can still eat that.
right. But
Where
if
is
I
the
don't get enough satisfaction out of it in a couple of hours, I'm going to be looking for M&Ms or something like that. That's my
right?
problem.
We need to figure out though that has nothing to do with the taste. I'm not satisfied. What are you not satisfied with outside of taste?
I don't know. I feel like I'm happy with other things. And maybe I just don't want to lose weight enough. I've
No,
lost so
I feel
much
that.
and I am much more happy with my size and the way I look. So maybe my desire to lose weight is just not strong enough to keep me
No,
the other.
don't
It's not
derail
it.
yourself. We're
Okay.
trying to figure out what's going on here. So let's do this. If you do have a happy, let's say you can't, I'm gonna, let's say this. If I said, Girl, I have installed cameras in your house. And is there anything you love a lot in this world? Something or someone?
My granddaughter's number one.
Aren't your granddaughter? I said, you know, every time you eat M&Ms, I'm putting a shock collar on her neck. Bleh! And she's gonna hate it. Like, it's not gonna be a pleasant. It's gonna feel like cattle prodded
Right.
every single time you ate M&Ms.
I wouldn't need them.
You wouldn't eat them.
Right.
So what would you be doing instead? When it was, because you'd still want them.
I'd be thinking about her
Okay.
and
So when you
protecting
have
her.
M&Ms, do you at least think about you? Or do you just think about how, like, woe is me? I don't, I didn't, wasn't satisfied enough, blah, blah, blah. That's so sad. I hate it.
No, I think, wow, chocolate is good. I don't know. I want to give you an answer.
That's the
I just
problem.
don't know.
Right. I think the problem is the first thing that we can do is when it's M&M time, I need you to practice stopping before you eat and asking yourself, what's more important? Eating M&Ms so that I can feel satisfied with food, or telling myself, I actually am satisfied with food. I'm satisfying all my nutritional needs. There's only one thing, and I'm satisfying my weight loss needs. There's only one small piece of the puzzle that's not getting satisfied. Like, we need to at least have that conversation.
So, do I just need to come to accept that food's not going to taste as good as it used to? Is that it?
Yeah, you can either
Okay.
accept it or you can keep eating M&Ms, one or the other.
Okay.
So tell
Right.
me,
Because what I've been doing
what are
is
your,
trying to
let me
find
ask
the
you this.
food that would taste better, and I haven't found it. So,
Right,
yeah.
you might not. And I will probably tell you at some point, M&Ms might not even do it anymore. But probably the only reason why sweets are doing it right now, if I had to guess, when you emotionally ate sweets.
Junk food, not just sweets.
But sweets were probably on the
Right.
list.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're hyper palatable. That's why you probably go to them, because if you're not getting satisfaction from these foods, they're not tasting right. Your mind is look your in your mind, it's a problem that foods don't taste right. And in my mind, it's not a problem that foods don't taste right. In my mind, it's a side effect of your weight loss. You think it's a problem. Like,
I
why
do.
is it so bad that your foods don't taste good to you? Because you don't get the pleasure. What
Yeah.
else? What else?
It's basically just that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are there other areas of your life where you don't get what you want and you have to run to eat M&Ms? Like, if you are
No.
stuck in traffic and you don't get to where you want to go on time, do you like, I better do something pleasurable because I didn't get what I wanted.
No, other things, I suck it up and do what has to be done.
Ow.
I know. Food
We may
has
have to
just
do that
been too
with.
important to me.
Yeah, we may have to do that. But I think the real thing comes into for you, this, I think you think you're owed pleasure with your food. You should have pleasure with your food. And I think you shouldn't.
Okay.
Because you know why?
No, I don't.
It's not possible for you.
Oh, well, that's true. Yeah.
We shouldn't have things that aren't possible.
Right.
The
Yeah.
fact is, it's like when you think I should be getting pleasure out of food, it's like, oh, wait, no, I shouldn't. When I'm on Mangiorno, that alters my taste buds. I shouldn't have pleasure. It's actually the fact is, I just don't have pleasure with food. So
Right.
I can either feel like you can do this. You can say, I am allowed to feel sad about that. I am allowed to miss it. But that doesn't mean that I need to like figure out how to get pleasure in ways that sabotage me. And I
Right.
think that is the piece when we talk about coming to peace with something, it's this idea of like, I should have it. It's like my grandfather tried all of his life to get pleasure from food. He just didn't have the side, like if he had had diabetes or he had gained weight, but he would have had to have worked on that. He
Right.
just didn't have that side effect. He had other side effects. I mean, he had awful gut cancers and stuff. But I think it's one of those things where you just have to say, like, there's just some people in the world who it would be like somebody who's sitting around and they can't see. They've lost their vision and they say they should be able to see. Could you imagine if you're blind and you spent your entire life thinking you should be able to see and you were born blind? You would be frustrated as hell your entire life. At some point, you would just have to feel like, I shouldn't be able to see. I was born blind. It's sad. It's rough, but I gotta find a way to cope with my life. I gotta find a way to do life with this. And I think that's where you're at. It's like, I've got to stop telling myself, like, somehow I'm owed pleasure.
Right.
I'm not
Yeah,
owed any pleasure.
I hadn't thought of it that way. You're right. I've been trying to find out how I can still do it, and I need to let it go. Yeah.
And find pleasure, not just in new things, but find pleasure in, like, you know, even though it doesn't taste good, I'm changing my life. When I'm like the beautiful things that you said that you're eating, like, I wish I could get some of these heifers to eat like you. They won't do it. They will, like, and I mean, you're eating so healthy. Like, you're actually like changing, probably, you're adding years to your life. And that is something you've got to reward yourself with. Like, when you're feeling sorry for not wanting to, like, not, you know, being able to find lots of pleasure and stuff, you're like, I got to find pleasure in a new way, in me. Like, I eat this way, even though I know I don't enjoy it, but it really takes care of my body. It's
Right.
going to give me more years, and it's going to allow me to be the grandmother I want to that baby that I love so much that I'm not going to let Corinne put a shock collar on her.
Right. Okay.
Now, that is not nearly got as much dopamine in it as a bag of M&Ms. You have to retrain your brain that this is what feels good, and M&Ms doesn't feel good. It just tastes good.
Yeah.
That's the big difference. Changing your life feels good. Taking care of your body feels good. Eating M&Ms only tastes good, but it doesn't feel good when I'm frustrated that I'm not losing weight. It doesn't feel good that I'm just seeking out sweets all the time instead of seeking out ways to talk to myself in a way that I feel the dopamine that the M&Ms are solving.
Okay. Thank you. You've made me see something I never thought of. Because I always thought, I can always enjoy food, just enjoy less of it. It never occurred to me I needed to find the way to accept I wasn't going to get my pleasure from food. So,
Well, and I will just say, you just happen, I think you have a gift.
what's that?
You can't find your pleasure in food anymore. This is
Right.
going to force you to find pleasure the way it was always meant to be found.
Right.
I remember my grandmother telling me she was one of nine kids. She was the baby of nine children. And they had a working farm at like 100 hands, like a big ass farm. Of course, everybody had to help, all the things. Trust me, when she got older, she loved not only to be able to just eat what she wanted, because when she grew up, she got scraps. She got what the hands didn't eat. That's all she got for the first 18 years of her life. Because they had to feed the hands, because they were the ones that were keeping the farm alive. The family didn't get the good stuff ever. She didn't get pleasure in food for a long time. You actually have a faster path to figuring out how to have real pleasure in life because you can't get it in food. You can't fake your way through it now. You've got to actually work on it. Whereas a lot of these people, because they can get pleasure from so much, it slows them down sometimes on working on themselves. The problems that are actually like, maybe I just need to talk to myself differently. I've never really thought that I'm really taking care of myself and stuff. It masks all that for them. They have to work a little harder than you.
Right. Yeah, I understand that. That's true. Makes me sad that
It's okay to be sad. Why are you sad? Tell me why you're sad.
just because that's how I've always gotten pleasure and comfort.
And comfort. Well, you didn't tell me that, Missy. I like how that little word rolled out your mouth at the last fucking second of the hour. This is where you need to work. Like when you feel sad and you tell me, the real reason why you're seeking out M&Ms is because you're not ready to let go of the one thing you've always relied on to give you comfort and pleasure. You need to work more on the idea of, gosh, I would like to be able to comfort myself and not need M&Ms or something sweet to do that. I need to find the ways in life where I don't feel comfort. The
Right.
areas in my life where I'm not like, don't worry about the word pleasure as much as maybe like excitement or purpose. A lot of times we use the word pleasure, and what we're really seeking is something else. A little bit deeper beneath pleasure.
Okay.
Right on, do the similar exercise I did with the other lady. I can see this is really emotional for you, that you're gonna.
It is. I didn't know it was, but it is. Yeah.
Why do you think it's so sad that you're going to let go of the thing that has given you comfort and pleasure instead of excited that you're going to figure out how to comfort and pleasure yourself now?
Probably once I start, I'll be excited about the change. But right now, it just sounds hard.
This is what I love about all of you. And I feel it. The scariest thing to do sometimes in life is to allow yourself to be happy. I can't tell you how many times I have cried with my coach, where she is desperately trying to convince me that my life is way better than I'm giving it credit for. But it feels so dangerous for me to not find problems and things to worry about because I fear if I'm not worrying and hanging on to it, I'll lose it.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
So that's why I say, like, our brains are so illogical. And we just have to keep working with them and keep working with them and reassuring that, I'm going to find ways. Like, when you need comfort, I want to know from what, and I want to talk to you about it because M&Ms were never comforting you.
No.
M&Ms were allowing you to feel like you were doing something about something, but it was never really doing anything. It was just putting on pause the thing that you needed comfort from, but it didn't solve it. Or you wouldn't need a bag of M&Ms, a few times a week. So kind of maybe dig around in there for like, it's very interesting to me that I'm afraid to let it go.
Right.
And like reassure yourself that you're learning how to truly comfort yourself. That always comes in words first. I always think the most comforting thing ever is to talk to yourself in the way that you would love to be comforted. We have to learn how to do that. Same thing with like either the pleasure or, like a lot of us, And I'm one of the worst, and I'm working on it now, is we have a hard time delighting in ourselves and in our life. And then when I invite all of us to, like, just, why don't we just believe? Because it feels a ton better. Why don't we just talk nice to ourselves instead of eat? Because it feels a ton better and it, you know, lasts longer. Why don't we just delight in our life? Because it feels better than worrying about what might happen. And we're just like, no. And we start crying and we're just like, I don't want to do that. That's hard work. It's like,
Right.
I love how our brain always thinks feeling good is the hard part.
Yeah.
And we never look at, like, I don't know. When I kind of watch myself, I'm thinking this looks really hard. Crying on a call, huh? Maybe that's harder because we don't think about it that way.
Right. Okay.
If you can, take some of it to ask coaches. They can help you with this stuff.
All right. I
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Sue, let's grab you real quick. Hey, Sue.
Hey, how are you? Thank you for
I'm
taking me.
good. Yeah, you're welcome. What you want coaching on?
I have just put in an application for the bariatric center for intake forms, and they're processing them right now. My doctor had suggested me to do this, and I really resisted. I was like, I don't want my stomach cut. I don't want my stomach cut. And everything else I was talking to him about, because he's a GP, you know what? Over the years, I really got just take this. This will help. Well, through figuring out my own process and that, you know, I've come to understand this is inflammation and this is, you know, what I thought maybe insulin resistance and, you know, just kind of doing my own diagnosis. And so I have been working really, really hard. This has been like the best program ever for me. Thank you. Thank you. You know, I'm been off the sugar. I have been off, when I say off the sugar, I'm talking very, very low in anything. I've switched over to allulose. I'm on Whole Foods. You know, was so resistant for the longest time about getting off dairy. Yesterday was my first time that I switched out, because I've been trying to switch out things over the years and that, but I switched out to a light coconut milk. And I was like, oh, maybe this is doable for my shakes. Oh, I
All
think
right.
I like this. And the big thing is, it's because I have the inflammation pain chronic throughout my body for years. My weight is really just been in that 20, 25 pound up, down, can't get any lower. And I just kind of keep doing this. I know I was like a heavy dairy user and everything. And like the little voice inside of me is telling me, you know, you need to do this. Okay, stop all that. My question here is, I think I want to do the GPL. I put on there, you know, I don't want to do the surgery. I want to do medication. I don't want to go on just a crash diet thing here with them, with their food. But I'm also nervous about it. It's the pros and cons about it. I step the I'm going to go back here. Yesterday, because I went on the coconut milk and that stuff, I have less inflammation in my knee, you know. And I realized a couple of days ago that when the inflammation is down, I feel like a skinny mini, you know. And then when I have something that bloats me up, and the number is still the same, only within the few little pounds, you know, it's like mind blowing. This high number can look good and bad at the same time. You know, it's just crazy. Anyway, so I've been watching these different webinars and that stuff too, talk about doing all these blood tests and seeing about all of the inflammation markers and everything. And this is why my doctor also said, go to them, go to the specialist. And I tried to go to, I was still, you know, just scared and that kind of stuff. So I had gone to Metabolic Research Center and kind of was doing with them. And it was like, you know what? No, I this is still not right for me. This isn't what I want. They wanted me to go on keto. I don't want to do this. I'm trying to do things.
Well, why are you nervous?
About what? About going to the center?
At some point, you've given me a lot of information about what you're doing and what you don't want to do and stuff like that. And you had said, and I'm nervous. And I think it was when you said you want to go on the GLP-1. So,
Okay.
like, what or just what is it that you think is your problem you want to solve today?
Okay. I got my sister in my ear. I got other people in my ear, and they're saying the GLP-1, the negative side. And then I listen to like the videos, and the doctors are saying, hey, you know what? These GLP, now we're finding out are good for the brain. It's good for inflammation. It's good for all of this. And so I guess I'm trying to say, I want to be able to go in there a little informed on what I'm saying and not just be, you know, running both sides of my brain. And so
Well,
I
tell me this.
guess.
Your sister, how much education does she have on GLP-1s? Or is she getting it off of like, where is she getting her information from?
My sister is a chronic home study person. And
Okay.
it's like, oh my God, just stop. Stop telling me everything because you have effed up my head so bad over the years over everything. I want to enjoy my food. You know, I want to enjoy this. And I'm trying to clear my brain from all the
Well,
nonsense.
we're not going to be able to clear your brain. It's going to
Okay.
say, as you get inputs, our brain loves to tell you all your inputs. Just like if I listen to a podcast, like a nice podcast, I'll think about it on this call and it'll be a podcast about something that has nothing to do with y'all. So our brain, just like when it gets a lot of inputs, it's just going to think about them. So I always just like to think like all inputs are going to be random in my brain. I just have to decide which inputs I want to pay attention to. And you haven't decided what you want to pay attention to.
I'm
You're
uncertain.
just like,
Yeah.
oh my God, my brain is saying all these things as if you have no agency over the things that you are hearing in your head. So we got to decide, do you want to trust your sister's opinion? Or would you like to trust your doctor's opinion? Or would you like to do a hybrid?
In all honesty, I want to trust my opinion. I want to go in at least informed enough to have them put out the options for me, and it sounds reasonable. But like sometimes, or like I went to the metabolic center, going in trusting that this was a good thing because someone else had good results in it. And then when I got there, I was like, this is such bullshit for me, you
Okay,
know?
so
And I've paid money.
I mean, I've bought lemons before. We don't, y'all gonna have to quit acting like, I bought this thing and it didn't work out. And so therefore, blah, blah, blah. It's like, welcome to the world. It's like, I have also bought a bag of chips that looked like they were gonna be amazing and took a bite and was like, that is the worst chip ever and had to throw it away. Like, and I don't ever think that there's something wrong with me or like, oh my gosh, or whatever. I'm just like, there are just times things are wrong. Okay. Here's what I think.
Okay.
I have gathered from just our quick conversation that you are not the kind of person who's going to show up anywhere without having done her own research. You seem very well informed. Anybody that
Hence,
can.
here I am. Hence, here
Exactly.
I
Like
am.
you really feel like someone who does never is going to run the risk of walking into the doctor's office without your own knowledge. And I think that's the crux of it, is you've got your sister saying things, you got your doctor saying things. What you're not saying is, I'm really good at taking in information and deciding what information I'm going to act on. You're saying, I get a lot of information and I'm afraid I'm going to screw it up. And if that doesn't feel right, tell me what does feel right. I have said so many words today on so many calls, I can't talk anymore. Rearticulate what you think sounds true in your own words.
I think that sounds true because of past experience.
It doesn't
And
matter. Just tell me what in your brain feels very true right now. When I said, like, and the way I described it is you're getting inputs and you can either think, like, I have a really good history of showing up to things well informed. And even if I'm well informed, sometimes it doesn't work out. Or I'm getting a lot of inputs and I don't know what to do and I'll screw it up and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
okay. First of all, I told my sister, stop it. Shut up. Quit talking to me. I don't want to hear
Okay,
you
so you
anymore.
already
Get
made a
out of my
decision there.
head. Get
All
out of
right.
my
So,
head.
okay.
The other part is, I am so mad at the doctors. For all of these years that I have been going through all of this, not one of them said, Sue, this is inflammation. Sue, could be this. It's just, take this pill. So I'm not real trusting on that side either that they're going to give me the information, you know, that it's
Then
going
I
to
wouldn't trust
help
them.
me.
Then I wouldn't trust them to give you the information. I would trust you to take their information and to do your own research and then decide because of your past.
Okay, I guess I'm kind of seeing it as the same thing as I joined. You know, the membership with full trust and, you know, feeling solid with my decision that I'm going in there and seeing things. And I kind of felt like as she was explaining things, you know, that I was watching a trick card game on the table as she's moving things around. I'm like, I'm still confused, you know, and they're like,
And
oh.
you don't then say, then what stops you from saying, like, none of this makes sense? Do it again. And have her do it again and do it again until it either makes sense or she does it so many times, you're just like, I'd like my money back. This is bullshit. If I've had to ask you 5 times to explain it and I don't understand it, we gotta cut bait.
You know what? I guess because I felt their pressure that time was up. It's time to go. We're, you know, this appointment's over. And it's like, okay, you know what? Again, I maybe it's just standing up for myself. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah. You're the customer. They're not the boss of you. Just like you're my customer. I'm not the boss of you.
Right,
Could y'all
right.
imagine if I just ran this membership by just like, no, we're just doing it this way all the time? Like, no, we're just doing it this way. I listen to my customers all the fucking time, and y'all have some harebrained ideas wanting us to do shit. If y'all had your way, I'd come live with y'all. Everybody would get a day with Corinne at least once a year.
It.
But, like, you are the customer. You are in control. I'm getting this sense because you're like, they pressured me. They said this. My sister's doing this. I'm getting this sense of like, you haven't seen, you are the one in control. It's almost like all these things are controlling me instead of, I need to figure out where my control is. If I don't understand this, it's my job, not theirs, to tell them this makes no sense. You're going to need to give me another appointment. You're going to need to explain it again. It's my job to dead stop them in the middle of their. I was just having this conversation with Chris because I was on a lot of meetings. And if I don't interrupt someone right in the middle of a sentence to ask my question, we are now at a less than 0% chance that I'm going to remember it and I'm going to miss something. So I told him, it's like, I know the team just thinks I'm rude as shit, but I have to just interrupt people and ask my questions. And I was like, I'm willing to let everybody feel like Corinne's rude because I know me. I want to understand things and I want to ask it and I want clarity and I don't apologize for that stuff. I let people feel like I'm a burden. I let people feel like I might be rude. I let people all the time have all kinds of thoughts about me because, number one, I pay them and you pay me. You're entitled to every thought you want. You're paying them. You're entitled to tell them, this is how my customer journey is going with you. This is the kind of customer I'm fixing to be. So, my question is, like, how can you start feeling like you're in control and not everybody else is in control?
The first thing comes to my brain is, since I'm not a good preparer in yet and I'm working on priorities and picking up all this information, is I can sit down with a prepared set of questions that I have and just check them off in the office, yay or nay, as I go through the consult.
That is perfect. And you know what I would do? I'd have that list and I'd make sure that you hold it this way so they can see that it's lengthy. Do not have it up here like there's only one or two. Be like, let us all look at my list because I came prepared today. Because I'd even say, I know y'all are on a tight timeline. I have a whole lot of questions. So I'm going to even let you see my list because we're going to get through them.
Okay.
So that would be the first thing. I think you've already taken control of your sister. That I'm very proud of you. You're just like, look, like I love you. You got to stop. It's not helping me. And you knew that. And you advocated to your sister. I just now want you to advocate where you're going here. You're paying these people. You're paying them to help you. Don't let them get you caught up in some kind of like scheduling churn. Like, show them, like, I'm gonna be a customer. One day you're gonna be really proud of me because my inflammation is gonna be gone and I'm gonna do all the things you say, but I gotta understand it because if I don't understand it, I'm not gonna be able to do it.
And I just want to backtrack a little bit to the MRC, where I joined it. Maybe it's fine. Maybe it's great for other people. Maybe it's been absolutely wonderful in that. Maybe it was just my counselor and her and I just didn't click or something. So, that's all set aside. That's fine. So, I will do that. I'll bring in my list of questions and I will move forward, and I will use Ask Coaches with what other future questions that I have on this, because this is going to be a process. And I mean, I'm all into the day I take my last breath. Either way, I'm going to be doing something, so I might as well do what's in favor of me. So.
Exactly. That is your power thought. I'm always going to be doing something, so it should be it. I should be doing it in favor of me, which is the same thing with this. It's like, you know, if I don't understand what they're saying, if I feel like they're fooling me or whatever, I'm always going to do what's in favor of me, which sometimes is like advocating for yourself, showing up with your list, knowing what you're not good at, and like saying, like, it would be better for me to have a list, not to just, you know, because my mom is kind of like this. I don't think you're like this, but my mother always has like a lot of questions, but she's so worried her doctor will get mad at her. She gets in there and she didn't write them down. And then he kind of just rushes her through, and then she comes home and yells at me because the doctor didn't do let her get all her questions out because she was nervous and she was an introvert and like let her go like this. And I was like, Mama, that's why you need to go in there prepared. You can't, like, when you get in there and you freeze up because you're nervous about talking to people, the last thing you need is to be relying on your brain. You need your paper. That's why we need paper. So, like, we just have to think through those things about ourselves sometimes.
So see my call for you this time, instead of just being nervous and running crazy.
There you go. There you go.
I'm like,
Like,
okay,
that's why I
here's my
think you
stuff.
can trust you are a preparer. And you came prepared for this call. You seem like you do your research. It can feel noisy when you have different people chiming in your ear. I would work on the why you might be nervous, other than like, because we never really touched on why you're nervous. We touched on why you're angry. You're like, well, what I really am is angry at my doctor's office. But I want you to really think about why I might be nervous. Okay.
I
And
think
then,
that
go ahead.
has to do with developing confidence. I always was that inferior person and all that. And I have done a lot of level ups along the way. So you know what? And I've heard it said before, just do it afraid, just do it. So I'm that's kind of in the place that I'm in. I wasn't here and I'm not there, so just do it.
Yeah, and then the most important thing about doing things when you're afraid, which I think is a very good skill we should all develop, because most of our fears are so made up in our head. We live our life afraid of things that are like really not that deep, yet they feel like they're just paralyzing at times. Is when you face a fear and you go ahead and do it, it's really important on the back end to remind yourself, oh, now I see I didn't need to be afraid of this, so that you can catalog that for the next time you're afraid of something. So your brain can get used to seeing you facing fear to see what will happen, which is what most people do, is they hide from what they're afraid of and they never see what might have happened. 90% of the time, what's on the other side of fear is something working.
Yeah. Can I tell you something really, really, really quick?
Sure.
While we were just here on this call here, I've had this ongoing situation with my son, and I haven't, he hasn't, he's trying to do a separation thing from us, which he can do whatever he wants now. But I've been trying to contact him and that. And just to say hi, and he's put me to voicemail, and he's got, psychological problems and that kind of stuff. So I just want to make sure, that he's fine, because he's talked suicide, all this kind of stuff. Anyway, there's this part of me that I am trying to be more emotionally intelligent and letting things go and growing up, where I'm not constantly crying and that stuff. Well, on this little call here, he just tried to get me, and my heart for a second was going like this. And then when he hung up, I was like, no, you did good. You're working on you.
There you go.
So now I'm back to home stasis. I'll try to reach out to him after and say, hey, sorry I missed your call. Which, let me tell you, this is such grown-up stuff for me.
I think that's
So
great.
I'm
And
proud
I
of
think
myself for this.
you should be. And I love that you made sure you told me, because it's not so much that you told me, it's that you talked about it so you can hear how proud you are of you and you can
Yeah.
hear how much you've grown. That is the most important thing that you said. Okay.
Yeah. I have never celebrated wins like I do now. I never understood wins and that stuff. And in fact, I was just thinking about my mom and that, and how, with doing our discovery worksheets and with doing all the deep dive work that I've done in that, growing up, my mom always said, why are you always analyzing? Why are you doing this? And I always felt like I was doing something wrong, doing that. And now my mom is 89 years old, wonderful woman, worked hard and that stuff. And when I started all of this, it was for my survival and that. And now that my mom is 89 years old, I, in my deepest heart, wish that she would have done her own self-reflection and analyzing and her gift of discovery and that. But she was so busy just surviving. And I got to respect that too. But I'll say something positive to her, and she'll say, I'm like, Mom, I says, you are so gifted. You're so this, so that. So I am so grateful that I've, had this membership, and all my other mentors and teachers that I've passed through over the years, including my son. My son has been a great teacher for me, to help me figure out who I am, and for whatever reasons in it. So, these are such gifts, and it's just, acknowledging, learning how to acknowledge ourselves and celebrate ourselves and understand, what every fall, there's a lesson in it. And every time you get up, you get to say, you know what? I get to practice another day, and I'm grateful.
Exactly. I heard something this morning that like when something doesn't work out, there's a difference between a fail and feeling like a failure. And if we treated things like, here are the things that like I failed at, like failing is so normal. Feeling like a failure is a choice.
Yeah.
So I'm proud of you. Keep us posted on how things go.
Okay, I will. Thank you very much. Love the membership so much. Love everyone. All right.
You're welcome, Sue.
Have a great
Bye-bye.
day. Bye-bye.
All righty, y'all. That's it for today. Y'all have a good one. Like I said, and if there's anything in particular that, like, if we are going to pull together some resources and things when it comes to medical weight loss, GLP-1, that kind of stuff, you can always either just post it in your Facebook group. Make sure you tag Me, tag MJ, tag Ashley. They'll filter it up. You can also, there's a blue question mark. This is the easiest way to make sure we get information. There's a blue question mark on the website at the very bottom on every page. It's our help scout. It's called the beacon. So that goes directly to our customer service department, and they filter out like technical questions versus just y'all have like, I'd like to request this be covered or whatever. You can always send that in too, because that's going to be something we're going to be working on over the next few months. I think it's on deck for early next year, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not 100% sure when, but we just planned some stuff the other day. So I'd love to make sure that whatever we do for you, it's very inclusive of the things that you absolutely want and like you need. It's one thing for me to guess, it's another thing for you to tell us so we don't skip stuff that you really need. Other than that, y'all have a good one. I think I'm gonna go eat something. Bye, y'all.